Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Football on Off The Ball.
Yeah, I've just been told that we've broken a few records tonight, which is nice, and I'm delighted for the players because as sloppy as we were last week, they were excellent tonight. We really were. They control the tempo, the energy in the game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
World Cup Daily on Off The Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Argentina come from behind to send England home and book their spot in two World Cup finals in a row. Thomas Tuchel faces questions over his future after some disastrous substitutions. And Spain await next with Lamine Yamal and Lionel Messi set to share the pitch for the very first time. First though, England are out of the World Cup after they blew a one-goal lead to lose 2-1 to Argentina in the semi-finals at the World Cup last night. After a cagey opening half in Atlanta, Anthony Gordon gave England the lead 10 minutes into the second half when he got on the end of a Morgan Rogers cross from the right-hand side. Thomas Tuchel then decided to try and shut up shop. He introduced Ezri Konsa, Dan Byrne and Nico O'Reilly. However, Argentina continued to press. Alexis McAllister hit the post with a header. Minutes later, Enzo Fernandez scored from outside the box after a pass from Lionel Messi with just 5 minutes to go.
Argentina man. Buscando, es esta, Fernández. ¡Gol! ¡Argentino! Enzo Fernández, Fernández, Enzo Fernández.
Then 2 minutes into injury time, Messi got down the right-hand side and crossed the ball with his right foot onto the head of substitute Lautaro Martinez for the winner.
Ay, Alexis, siempre cerca. Viene Messi, va al centro, va y está.
On the football show last night, Keith Tracy joined Will O'Callaghan and Ben Symes and described the action as it unfolded.
Give Messi's cross, like Messi's cross with his right foot is exceptional. To go down the outside of Nico O'Reilly and hang it up with his bad foot across the 6-yard box. And even when you see Jordan Pickford scrambling across the 6-yard box, that's the quality of the ball. We used to call it a Malteser across the box because you're just teasing the goalkeeper into coming out and getting it. And all of a sudden, Pickford's in no man's land. It's an easy header for Martinez. But to be fair, you can't say Argentina don't deserve it. Since England scored the goal, they've been much, much the better team, much more threatening. And although Messi hasn't provided a goal scorer at the moment, he's just provided a wonderful assist for Martinez. But I think we said it, Thomas Tuchel is going to get absolutely hung out to dry in the media after this.
Look, here's the thing, Keith. This Argentina team have maybe it's no coincidence, comeback wins across this World Cup. They've made very hard work of getting to what's now the verge of a World Cup final, but they've shown plenty of times they can do things like this.
They have. They've shown different strings to their bow. Obviously, the first game against Algeria, I was looking, thinking, what's Messi got left in the locker? The hat-trick then puts those little worries to bed, and then Austria was a fairly straightforward win. Jordan, again, an easy, ozy enough game for them. Cape Verde, they were obviously very underwhelming. We give Cape Verde big credit and praise for that. The Egypt game where they pull it out of fire. I think they're just starting to believe, you know, maybe we, our name is on the World Cup here again. And then they go and put Switzerland to the sword in extra time. The Swiss team aren't a bad team, but they're a team you'd expect Argentina to be. But, you know, when we speak about England and they look like they've got that togetherness, John Stones video in the dressing room pretending his shoulder's hurt, all that type of stuff, I think you double down when you think of the spirit within the Argentinian dressing room. They just, I know we highlight how much they seem to want to do it for Messi and all this, that and the other. They just seem like a group that don't take no for an answer. And when England were in the ascendancy, it just seemed like they were always going to wrestle it back, and they've done it. And, you know, player for player for me, England are still better, but one way or another, Argentina are bossing this game right now.
That's available to listen back to now in full in your OTB Football podcast feed. On Thursday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, broadcaster and journalist Philippe Auclair joined Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig and said it wasn't just Tuchel's substitutions that caused England the problems.
As soon as Argentina level, the second was inevitable. I think we all agree on that. I'm not too sure. To be honest, I'm a little bit nonplussed by some of the comments I'm reading today and after the game, because yet again I feel that the emotional impact of this defeat on the English commentary class is perhaps an explanation for some of the comments I've heard. I mean, to me, it felt like a case of déjà vu. I don't know if it did to you, but I thought, this is Croatia 2018. This is Italy 2021. And this is Argentina 2026. The same thing happened every single time. And I do think that there are some mitigating factors. I do think the travel played a part. I do think the fact of playing 10 against 11 at the Azteca played a part. All these things, you know, obviously play a part. I do think the substitutions played a part, but I don't think that they were necessarily the reason for which England capitulated in the end, because it was a capitulation. It's not because you've got Konsa rather than Anthony Gordon on the pitch that you have to play a 10-0-0 formation. And that's, I think there's one moment where the players, I don't know, it's this weird English thing of just everything being go back, go back, go back, as if the only way to defend a lead is to be a kind of Alamo situation. You know, backs to the wall, a Gordon Bunce-like save by Jordan Pickford, a Bobby Moore-like tackle by Jed Spence. Yeah. Well, we all know how the Alamo finished. They got beaten and they all were shot. So it's not a good idea, but it seems that every time England reverts to type, and it doesn't matter who the manager is, the subs can play a part because they send a signal to the team. But I heard what Rooney had to say, and to put the blame solely at the feet of the manager is totally wrong. And I think that most people who do not have much of a bone in this, even though I would have dearly liked to see England go past this particular Argentinian team, for which, as a Frenchman, you can imagine I do not have any particular tenderness, given what's happened between us in the past. It's wrong just to say it's the manager's fault, it's the manager's fault. Some of what he said after the game, which he just played, sounded a little bit Pollyannish to me, because you could argue that they played their best game. Well, I'm not so sure. I think they played their best game against Croatia myself, but that's maybe a different feeling. And given the circumstances, they did quite well. And when Gordon scored that superb goal, I thought, you know what, that's looking really good. And then slowly but surely, this thing creeps in. They lose their shape to become this kind of flat pancake at the back. And then players whom you know, all year round, people say they're really good, they're international class, they're even world class. Well, suddenly they can only pass into touch. They miscontrol the ball by 3 yards. No manager can deal with that. That's not the manager's fault, that's the player's fault. And I'm not going to get to be very popular for this, but the worst England player yesterday was Jude Bellingham. He was not anywhere having any impact on the game. He was spraying the ball. I mean, I don't know. I was looking, thinking, this is not the same player.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
When your furnace quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Argentina will play Spain in Sunday's final. Their manager, Lionel Scaloni, says they capitalized on England's misfortunes.
With the substitutions, when you see there's a vacuum at the goal that's just sucking the ball out, well, you just have to keep going. We hit the crossbar, we hit the post, and it just wouldn't go in. There were six or seven chances, but I'm very pleased about that because the team fought to the very end.
Lionel Messi said it was no fluke.
We come from being world champions. We've been the best over the last 4 years. No matter who it hurts or what they say, today, once again, we place ourselves among the best two teams in the world. And that shows that everything we did is not by chance and that no one gave us anything.
England boss Thomas Tuchel says the momentum of the game seemed to change after his side went ahead.
Argentina played with more risk, played with more rhythm, played with a feeling maybe that they have nothing to lose anymore, which freed them up and hold us back, because we obviously played suddenly with a feeling that we have a lot to lose.
England captain Harry Kane says the loss has left the squad hurting.
Everyone has to process what's just happened. Everyone's gutted. I'm gutted for all the boys, all the staff, everyone behind the scenes, because we know how much everyone puts into to being a successful national team. And when you're so close, when you're 10 plus minutes away and it slips out your hands like that, yeah, obviously the lads are devastated.
It means England still haven't played in a World Cup final since 1966. Well, Argentina have won all six of their World Cup semi-finals. England defender Dan Byrne was brought on with 20 minutes to go to try and shut up shop.
Honestly, I thought we were going to do it. I had that feeling and really thought we had something going. But it's very sort of fine margins at this level of football. And yeah, you've got Argentina who have been there and done that and probably shown that.
Some Argentina players held up a banner proclaiming the Falkland Islands as part of their country after the match. The team now faces disciplinary action from FIFA, which doesn't allow political messaging or slogans in the field of play. Argentina midfielder Leandro Paredes says it's a sensitive issue.
Sadly, it is a sad part of our history for everyone involved. In that chapter of, I repeat, our history, we knew we were playing for them too, for all the people, for our entire nation. I believe we did it in the best possible way.
Despite having to come from behind again, Argentina midfielder Alexis McAllister says they were always confident.
We played a really good second half from the beginning to the end. Even when they scored the first goal, I felt we were in a really good position and we were having the control. But after we brought our Argentinian fire.
So Argentina plays Spain in Sunday's final in New Jersey, an 8 o'clock kickoff our time. England will have the third and fourth place playoff against France in Miami on Saturday night. It'll be Argentina's sixth final. They won in 1978, 1986 and the last one in 2022. They were beaten in 1990 and 2014. The countries have only met once at the World Cup. It was in the 1966 group stage when Argentina won 2-1. The most recent result saw Spain beat Argentina 6-1 in March 2018. Julen Lopetegui was the manager of Spain at the time. Scaloni was part of Jorge Sampaoli's Argentine staff. And World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. England captain Harry Kane says it's too early to judge if he'll play at the next World Cup in 2030. It was a second World Cup semi-final defeat in 8 years for the Bayern Munich striker. He was part of the team beaten 2-1 by Croatia in 2018. The 32-year-old has scored six goals at this World Cup. An inquest has heard that England World Cup winner Nobby Stiles suffered a progressive brain disease from heading a football at least 136,000 times in his career. Stiles, who played 28 times for England and made nearly 400 appearances for Manchester United, died in 2020 at the age of 78 after a number of years with advanced dementia and CTE. His family have been campaigning for the football authorities to do more to protect footballers from CTE, and the coroner said she would be filing a prevention of future death report to highlight the dangers of repeatedly heading a ball. Stiles was also a European Cup winner and the brother-in-law of Ireland legend John Giles. And two League of Ireland clubs are in European action this evening. Derry City are 3-2 down heading into the home leg of their Europa League qualifier against CSKA Sofia. Derry have Brandon Fleming and Adam O'Reilly back tonight, while James Clark could make his return from injury. That match at the Ryan McBride Brandywell kicks off at 6:30. Bohemians are in Gibraltar for their Conference League qualifier against St Joseph's. Bows lead 2-0 from the first leg at Dalymount Park last week, and that game starts at 5:00. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back on more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.